The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Here ends our text. Has the word compassion disappeared from our vocabulary? People give breaks, let things slide, and look the other way. But is anyone truly compassionate today? Yes, someone is. He not only has compassion in his vocabulary, but for our life. As words go, the English word compassion is quite ordinary. It comes from the Latin meaning to suffer along with someone. The Greek, on the other hand, is a graphic word, but you wouldn't know it from how it's translated by Bibles. It's translated by compassion, sympathy, pity. The verb splotnozomai, that's the Greek verb, comes from the plural form of the Greek word for spleen. In the plural, it didn't just refer to the spleen, but to all the internal organs, heart, lungs, liver, and kidney, as opposed to the entrails. In Jewish and Greek thought, compassion arose from the noble internal organs. Is that really such a strange idea? Don't we have expressions that give that impression? Isn't the fireman carrying the child out of the Oklahoma City bombing a heartbreaking sight? Didn't you have a gut-wrenching feeling when the World Trade Center fell? Even in our day, today life, don't you sometimes feel your stomach churn or have butterflies there? The Greek splotnizomai captures this, but only the King James Version conveys it. It uses such colorful phrases as bowels of compassion or bowels of mercy. See the depth of emotion. The Holy Spirit could have used other Greek words to express the feeling Jesus had for the crowd, but they aren't as blunt, as forceful, or as rough. Splotnizomai rivets our attention on the depth of Jesus' feelings. The other Greek words would have highlighted the condition of the crowd, not Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants us to focus on Jesus, not the crowd. The graphic word splotnizomai does that. Compassion is not just a graphic word, it's a dangerous word, even in English. Having compassion in a fallen world makes you vulnerable. In a way, it's like having a spleen. The spleen is located in a prime spot for blunt trauma, just under your rib cage on the left side. Just a few years ago, NFL quarterback Chris Sims suffered a ruptured spleen while diving into the end zone. Maybe the Greeks used a word derived from the plural of spleen to express the fact that having compassion leaves you vulnerable. What happened to Jesus shows this truth. Our text says Jesus had compassion for the crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Disregarding his disciples' need for rest, disregarding his own need to mourn the murder of John the Baptist, which had just happened, Jesus began shepherding the crowd by teaching them. Next week, we're going to read that Jesus became concerned for their lack of food and fed over 5,000 of them. Later on this summer, we'll read that the majority of this crowd that Jesus had such compassion on turned utterly against him. If love hurts, compassion hurts more. Being compassionate is dangerous. You risk abuse, misuse, and getting grimy. The Levite and the priest who passed by the man just robbed, they walked away clean. The Good Samaritan, he got his garments bloody and his hands dirty. He probably hurt his back putting the wounded man across his mule. You know what I'm saying is true. If you have compassion on the smelly and dirty, you're going to end up sullied and stinky. So, we try to insulate this delicate organ called compassion. We use our intellect saying, you can't help everyone, can you? We use blinders to see no evil. So the dangerous but delicate compassion has no chance to arise in our heart. But there's danger also in not having compassion, even as there is in danger in not having a spleen. You can live without a spleen, free of the worry of ever injuring it. But you have a higher than normal risk of contracting serious or even life-threatening diseases. Likewise, by living compassion-free, you don't get dirty or hurt, but your spiritual life is at risk. Compassion is a graphic word, it's a dangerous word, and it's a divine word. I mean, more than compassion is a quality of God's. In the Gospels, this blunt, rough, gutsy word is used only to describe Christ and Christ-like people in parables. The master who forgives the enormous debt, the prodigal son's father, the good Samaritan, all had splachnizomai. Now isn't that startling? This very human word, which strikes a deep core in our body, describes how our God and Lord feels towards us. The feeling that turns deep within us, rumbling up from our stomach to our heart and into our throat when our loved one is hurting and needs help, that's how God in Christ feels towards us. Jesus has compassion on you when he sees you in need. When the apostles returned, elated and tired, Jesus called them away to rest. When the spiritual need of the crowd became apparent, his heart went out even more so to them, and he taught these spiritually starving sheep. Such a God we have in Christ. A God full of compassion and grace, says Psalm 86. A Lord who is gracious and full of compassion, according to Psalm 111. It's even better than this. Our God has compassion on us even when the mess is our own fault. This point is often missed by self-reliant Americans who live by the dictum, you made your bed, now lie in it. There is truth to it. Our sinful acts do have consequences that we have to live with. But our Lord has more compassion than we have sins. Jesus tells us that he sends his rain on the believers and the unbelievers, on the hardened sinner and the forgiven one. Psalm 78 says that although Israel continually rebelled against the Lord and did not listen to